Good morning, and I also want to take some time to extend special honor to each father here. It is a blessing to see faithful fathers and men in our church that are playing a very important role in the lives of families, in our churches, communities, and in our nation. So God bless you. And to the young men, young boys who are becoming men, I want to encourage you to set out on this journey to be a strong man for God. Because I believe that families and raising children, the family unit, is a strong weapon against the devil and the kingdom of darkness. And so let that be an encouragement to each of you as you're raising families, fathers, as you fill your role as a man in the home and a father, a leader in the home. You just that alone, by taking that responsibility and standing in that position, is a strong weapon against the devil. And I'm amazed at so many people that have been in our home, in our ministry here in Shenandoah, and they look at our family picture on the wall, and they just stand in amazement, and they look to me and say, one wife, nine children, and they just never seen anything like that. And many have expressed, stepping into our home, they felt a presence there that they've never felt before, ever in their life. And I stand humbled at that, but recognize that, yes, it is a powerful weapon against the devil to simply be a father and a man of God. So God bless each of you in your journey as leaders. I also want to share, just going back through my notes and studying and through many Father's Day sermons and collecting thoughts, but I want to share again a vision that I have for our church family. And it was good for me to meditate on this again. But one of the visions that I would have and see is that each of our families are planted in a mission field. Now, you might be thinking across the seas or a foreign mission, and that's not at all it. But that you would picture yourself and your family in a mission field. Your physical address is very significant in the light of eternity. Not in the house, the type of house you have, and the backyard, and all the things that you might be thinking about, but it is significant in light of eternity because it's a mission field where you've been planted. It is not just random that we are all spread out throughout this town, but I believe God has placed us all very uniquely in this area. And I want you all to consider yourself and your families as planted in a mission field. And all of our families are mission families that are working. And there's much work to do. It's overwhelming to think about that, but there. And in eternity, we'll see the big picture of all of this. There was once a man that I learned to know through business. I had many deep conversations with him. And he called me one night and said his neighbor is coming over to his house and expressing suicidal thoughts. And he was overwhelmed with that. And he wanted to know if I could come up several half an hour away to talk to his neighbor. And I just encouraged him that that is your mission field. He's coming to you for a reason. Just invest in his life and speak life into his heart. And it was sad that he did go on to commit suicide. That was very difficult for him. I had to reconsider my answer. Maybe I should have went. But we had to just leave that rest. But the point I'm making here that we all have a mission field that we're working in. When these things come up, I've had experiences like that as well. People call me and ask if I could talk to their son. He's saying dangerous things. And had an experience like that, spending a Saturday night with someone for an hour or two, and the dark cloud lifted, and the next Sunday morning he was sitting on the steps at the church. Some of those experiences are rewarding. So, may that be an encouragement to each of you this morning as you think about families as being a strong weapon for the Lord. Fathers and men, you are very much needed, and God bless you. I also would like to see our church placing values on mission life and education, Christian education for our children, and that we'd be known as a church that studies together, and we're growing together in our knowledge of God and scriptures. And every Sunday we come together and study, and we're known as a group that is learning together. The title of the message this morning is Passing on the Faith, and I want to think about the powerful influence of fathers and encourage you as men and fathers to think about the task of passing on the faith. And I thought of our track and field day when we had the relay races and passed the baton to the next person. Just passing it on, and you needed to effectively pass on the baton to the next person and finish the race. And I like that picture in relation to families and parents and fathers passing on the faith to the next generation. And if you succeed in this task, you've accomplished a lot to pass on the faith and to see it carried by the next generation, your children and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And if that happens in your family, that is a tremendous success. And I think that's what I want to encourage us together in. I want you to turn now to our theme verse in Proverbs 20, verse 7. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I have one verse as a theme verse, and it captures this idea of future generations being blessed and carrying on the faith. Proverbs 20, verse 7, it says, "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." The just man or the righteous man, or maybe we put in there the righteous father, walks in his integrity. So there's something about his life and our lives that is filled with righteousness. We're known as just and righteous and godly and men of God. And we're walking in our integrity. And if that is a picture of your life, your children are blessed after you. And so there's a tremendous blessing that comes along with this. When you walk in your integrity, you're just, and there's something about your life that is godly and righteous and a man of integrity is known in the community, and churches, and families, and children are blessed after that. And so that is, had an opportunity to call my father this morning and just shared this verse with him. And I can no longer have deep conversations with my father. His mental health is not well. But we can still have conversations, but not as it was in the past. But I could think back and meditate on this verse and truly had to say that, yes, there was a lot handed to me by my father. And that was something that I feel blessed to receive, that many do not have that privilege to grow up in a family like that. So the first point that I have is in relation to passing on the faith, is passing on the faith through influence. And I want to talk about your heart and your hands and your ears. And I will have the most to say about the heart. And I do want to reflect on Daddy's hands, Daddy's heart, and Daddy's ears. And hopefully encourage you to think deeply about this. There's a prophecy in Malachi, the last verses of the Old Testament, that are profound and refers to a father's heart and children's hearts. And I want to read that at this time, Malachi 4, 5 and 6. It says, Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We see a heart connection here, or Elijah coming. This was a prophecy that Malachi gave, that Elijah is going to come before this great and dreadful day of the Lord. If you read the whole chapter 4, it talks about the dreadful day of the Lord, where he shall come and do away with the wicked and burn them up, and the day of judgment. But before that, he's going to send Elijah. Now, to a Jew, they read this, and they still, every year, are looking for the coming of Elijah. And every Passover, they set an extra plate, I think, and I didn't go over this and refresh myself on all the customs of current day practices of the Jewish Passover. But they are looking for Elijah to come again. So each Passover, they have the Passover meal, and then they run out through the streets, and they're looking for Elijah, based upon this prophecy. To the Christians, we see, and I would see this as fulfilled partially with the coming of John the Baptist, who came in the power and spirit of Elijah. So I believe what is reflected on here in this verse is a turning of the hearts of the fathers to the children and heart of the children to the father. I don't think that's going to happen at the end of time at the great and dreadful day of judgment, but I believe that is happening today, where this is at the heart of God to see a heart connection and something happening in our hearts as fathers and children. And then the last part, there's a curse connected with this, and I'm not sure exactly what all that means. So God is a God of relationships, and I want to just say this, that as you think about heaven and what heaven will be like, I was privileged to sit under the teaching of Val Yoder at the All Nations Day, and he had a whole session on heaven, encouraging us as we're working in the field and working in church work and whatever to think about heaven. And he did a good job of making us all want to be there. But I would like to picture here, I want to go back to the garden of in the creation, Genesis, in the creation, God created a perfect world. You can let your imagination run how that was. One part of that perfect world was the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve in a perfect marriage, a perfect family, a perfect world, a paradise. I would just like to live a few days in that and take a trip to the Garden of Eden and just experience that. And we all long for that. But part of that experience and part of that creation is families and relationships. God is a God of relationships. And in Genesis, we see a perfect marriage and a perfect family and a perfect world. Everything in its complete perfection. And when people stand and see a picture of a family, I believe we all long for that. So God is a God of relationships. So I think in heaven, we're going to see families get together. Somehow. I don't know how this is all going to look. And it is a very precious experience when families get together here in this life. But when families are restored to ultimate perfection, and we can come together in heaven. So I believe that is what God is saying here. He is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers and restoring hearts, preparing us for endless eternity in heaven, enjoying the presence of Jesus and the presence of God and families restored. So I believe that is what people stand in amazed when they see a picture, a light picture. And if our families can be representing that, I believe marriage is represents the relationship between Christ and the church. So when people see a marriage here in this life, they see a picture of the relationship of between Christ and His bride, His church. So, our hearts. Fathers, I want to encourage each of you as you think about our hearts being turned to our children. And I just want to encourage you to give attention to that and focus a little bit on your heart. Children are born into this world with strong heartstrings that are attached to their mother and father. I believe that's the way God intended it, and children are born with that connection. And there are many ways that those heartstrings of children can be damaged. And throughout this fallen world in which we live, those heartstrings can be wounded and damaged and even broken. Ephesians 6 is a chapter on spiritual warfare, and it begins with the family unit. Actually, Ephesians 5 is the teaching on the marriage, the husbands and wives in their place. And then Ephesians 6 begins with children. Are called to obey and honor their parents. And it is a commandment with promise. I always read that and I'm still wrestling to fully understand the connection to the promise, but it is one of the commandments with promise. And the promise is that it may be well with you and live long on the earth. So I think it is it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone that honors and obeys their parents will live a long life to be 90 to 100 years old. And if they don't live that old, why, then they didn't do that. I haven't taken that position. But I believe this promise is for believers and unbelievers as well, that when you acknowledge the family unit and obey and honor your parents, your father and your mother, things will go better in your life. Now, this is hard for some people. I've talked to several who were at the age of Bradley and AJ who came home from school to an empty house at a young age like that, and just father wasn't there for them, and it left deep wounds. And so they read this and they're supposed to honor their father. And I believe that it's very hard for someone who had an experience like that to honor. But it is the commandment with promise. And it is what God says in His Word, that just for the sake of His Father, to honor a father and look for things. Now, I don't think I'm speaking to anyone here who experienced something like that, but there are many who have father wounds, and I think it is what the prophet was saying, that he's going to turn the hearts of, or one translation said, heal the hearts, turning the hearts of the fathers and the children together again, and healing the wounds of the past. Fathers are commanded to not to provoke your children to anger. Never in the scriptures are mothers or women warned against provoking their children to anger. It's the fathers. And I believe that's something we're more, as men, prone to getting angry. And there's many ways that we as fathers can provoke children to anger. But we're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to nurture them and to be there for them, and to provide a home that children can grow in the Lord and find protection and teaching and examples. So the first one I have here in relation to a father's heart and is an absent father. I believe it's a way that we can provoke our children to anger by not being there, just being absent. We feel as men many pressures, and sometimes it feels hard. We have a lot of things to take care of, and some men are absent, and there is no strong connection because of that. And sometimes it can be through sports, money, hobbies, work, ministry. Just a few that I wrote down that men can get involved with and passionate in. And sometimes it can be something that just distractions, and they can reveal our heart is not turned towards our family and children like it should be. Time is another one. There was once a little boy who asked his father how much he makes an hour or a day. And his father was slow to give that information out. And the little boy responded, "I'd like to buy a day of your time." So he was wanting time. So time, take time. I think that's the echo and what I hear from most older men who have, their children are raised. They say, "I wish I would have taken more time." It takes time to be involved in earning an income and many of those things. But some of sometimes we can, as men, just cut some of those things out. I believe that's where we struggle to decide what we say yes to and what we're involved in so that we have ample time. Look for ways to take time. A passive father is another one that I have in relation to a father's heart. Male passivity and domineering women is a problem in our world today. Children need fathers who are leaders and who are not passive. When fathers do not rise to the challenge, sometimes the women are left to do that. So let's be leaders and lead. It is hard to give leadership and to stand up and be leaders for God. 1 Corinthians 11 is clear that men are called to be the leaders of the home, and wives are to be in submission to the father and the husband's leadership, and in the church as well. So children are longing for loving discipline. Children can become discouraged by a father who does not teach right and wrong or give correction when children do wrong. Part of leadership is discipline. A father who is a provider and a protector for his children, he will set standards for the home and set a guard to keep evil from the home. We're living in days where that is very important, to set a guard for the home, that we are the ones to keep evil out of the home and to stay on top of what is available and on the internet, and all the access that we have to evil is getting closer and closer and closer. So I believe it is important that we set standards and keep a watch for our homes. A father will manage his finances well. And that is one of our responsibilities. So there's money there for the children. Doesn't mean that we will never face setbacks or difficulties in or financial struggles, but we're the ones to bear the responsibility in financial needs. And lastly, on the heart, authoritarian father. A father must not only call the shots, make decisions in the home, but relate well to his wife and children. An authoritarian father is one who takes leadership, but not in a way that he is not relational. A father can make it difficult for his wife and children by just calling the shots and not hearing, taking time to listen to the struggles of his wife and children. So we lead. The best type of leadership is servant leadership, where we are servants and we are leading as servants, taking time to listen, hearing all sides and making decisions that is best for everyone in the family, not just himself. Taking time to pray about decisions, there's much I could say here yet, but I'm going to move on. Taking time to pray about decisions, sometimes decisions are difficult. And I think it is something we need to learn, is to be slow and take time before we make decisions swiftly. Secondly, father's hands. We know the song, Daddy's hands were not always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. Soft and kind when I was crying, hard as steel when I done wrong. Daddy's hands were gentle. Daddy's hands were hard as steel. And Daddy's hands work hard to provide. I know that all of you work hard, and I want to acknowledge that, encourage you in that, in your work. I think it is good for children to recognize that. Daddy went out and worked a hard day and provides money to buy the food and pay the bills and all of those things. Daddy's hands are working to provide. But also, Daddy's hands provide love, and they also provide loving discipline. So there needs to be a balance between mercy and justice, gentleness, and also firmness in Daddy's hands. Daddy's ears, a father's ears, need to be, as James says, James 1:19, we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Take time to listen. Sometimes I think we can fail here, being busy or just taking the time to listen. People want to be heard. And I think this is something to think about as fathers. Are you taking time to listen? I have to learn this, and still am learning this, but sometimes people have said to me, just thanks for listening. And I didn't really always have to come up with answers. In leadership, sometimes people just need an ear. And if you can give an ear and take some time to listen, you do not always have to have an answer. You just listen. By listening, you communicate love and care. I know there was some times when there's some disputes that I was involved in up in Borough Hall once. There was a complaint came in, and I wanted just a listening ear so I could just share the experience. Listen. When your children are under conviction, all hours of the night, just be available when they need to talk to someone. Listen to when they have done right or done or need praise. Many ways that we can take the time to listen. So in conclusion, back to our theme verse, a righteous and just man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Your influence is happening every day, whether you are aware of it or not. We don't just decide, today I'm going to influence my children, or today I'm going to influence my coworker. Influence is something that is just happening every day. By your life and the choices you make, it is an influence that will hopefully be a blessing to your children. So your example, your children are following in many ways. Children gain an understanding of God from their father, so the choices you're making are leaving an impact upon your children. It is hard for children to go beyond their father's example. So that is humbling to think about, but I think it's true that we can go above and beyond our parents. But it's hard. And so let's rise up and set a good example. A father who is strong in faith will leave an example for his children to become men and women of faith. A father who lives in fear sometimes will pass on fear and patterns of fear to their children. I remember some sharing with me a tremendous fear of thunderstorms, and I just never had a fear of thunderstorms, because every time a thunderstorm came up, we just enjoyed them. Some, they ran to the basement, and there was fear passed on, patterns of fear. The evangelistic father can pass that on to their children, that example. A patient father, an angry father, on and on the list can go. So these are influences that are happening in your life, whether you're aware of it or not. They are happening, and your children will follow after them. And I also do believe that children can go far beyond their parents too. As they get older and mature, make decisions for themselves, I think each generation can just go a little bit further. And love to see that. That is one of my prayers for our family, is that each of our children can go beyond their parents, rising higher. And hopefully that can be for each one of your families as well, that our children can go beyond us and pass on the faith as long as the Lord allows us to live. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together, this special day of remembering fathers. I just pray and ask you to encourage each of the fathers here this morning to take a step higher, to go a little further, to think about our hearts, our hands, and our ears, and the influence that is happening every day of our lives. Bless our church family as we live in this area. Pray that we would be a mission church, that each family would have an effect in the communities in which they live, and that souls and lives would be touched for you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.